So I order the surfboard. I got to tell my wife how much it is, and it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks before it's done. Now, hurricane season has started, so I was a little nervous about that because hurricane season is surfing season. And so I said, well, you know, I got to wait. And the thing is I could have gone to Catalyst Surf Shop. I could have gone to Core Surf. I could have gone to Ron John's. I could have gone to any surf shop and picked out a board. It would have been a fraction of the cost, and I would have had it immediately. But I want something custom. I want something high quality. I want something that when I take it out, it's going to be exactly what I need for those conditions. But this day and age, that's kind of a weird thing because taking 4 to 6 weeks for something is, I know, very odd for you guys. I taught a class where the students had to take a test at the end of the class, and they took the test in May. And when I informed them that they weren't going to get the results until July, you would have thought that I cut off their right finger and said, and I mean, it was ridiculous the response that I got from that, because in today's day and age, we expect everything immediately. But here's the thing. I remember 4 to 6 weeks for me is not that big of a deal, because I remember when I was a kid, when I was y'all's age, I was into comic books, okay? I was a nerd. I'm not going to lie. To this day, I still like comic books. I still like comic book movies. I will be first in line to watch Justice League. And so when we read comic books back then, and it's different today because today you have shows that have all the comic books, and you have video games. And all. See, when I was a kid, we didn't have all that. We had Pong. Pong, if you don't know, is a square dot that goes back and forth, and you try to keep it from going off the screen. And you sit there, and I mean, we are talking minutes of fun. So we had Pong. So really what we did is we actually went outside and played. I know, weird, but we did. We went outside and played. In the comic books, though, you had these pages and pages of ads. And in those ads, you could buy X-ray glasses. You could buy a spy satellite telescope thingy. You could buy smoke bombs. You could buy magic smoke that came off your fingers. The magic smoke, I actually bought this one time. The magic smoke that came off your fingers, they made it look so cool in the little picture. It was actually this really sticky, gooey stuff. It was like glue. You know what I'm talking about? And you do this, and then eventually the little strands of glue just start kind of going off like spider webs. And it's supposed to look like, it didn't look like smoke at all. I was really disappointed. And then you had to wash it off, and it took forever to get off. But anyway, whenever you order anything like that, at the bottom of the thing, you had to actually write out your name and address, and you had to write out how you're going to pay, and you had to put it in an envelope with a check or money order, and then you sent it out. And at the bottom of the little thing that you filled out, it always said, please allow, actually later on, it was 4 to 6 weeks. Earlier, it was 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Strange, yes, but we waited and we anticipated and we were looking for, we were marking off days in the calendar. Nowadays, it's not like that. I remember when you wanted to hear a song on a cassette tape. I'm sorry, a cassette tape is something you might find in a museum. If you wanted to hear a song on a cassette tape and it was like the fifth song in, you had to like push fast forward and it would go. And then you'd wait. Oh, nope, I'm still on the fourth song. And it was ridiculous. Now, then CDs came out. CDs were awesome because you could actually just go boop, 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 and advance right to the fifth track or whatever you wanted to do. You could back up to the fifth track. You didn't have to turn a CD over. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. When I popped that thing in, it played the whole thing. And I'm like, but we didn't flip it. Nope, no flipping of CDs. And nowadays, if you guys had to actually advance through things, because now you have your little phone, and it's just like, I want the fifth song, because you got your little playlist, and you just touch the thing, the stuff, and the slide, and the swipe. That's what phones do nowadays, right? And we used to just have phones on a wall. It was weird. So we live in a society of instant gratification. My daughter ordered a hamster ball off Amazon.com. And 2 days later, if it was even 2 days, it's on my doorstep. I'm like, Like, how do they get all the stuff? Because everything's automated and everything. And now Amazon has drones. And they will deliver your thing to you, like, instantly. Like, if you're near a distribution center, you're like, Amazon, I want a bag of chicks. And there you got a bag of chips. And it's just there. That's amazing to me. So instant gratification is something that I actually want to talk about today. The problem with instant gratification is kind of like my surfboard. You're getting something that's not as good, even though it's faster, and it's not as valuable because you didn't pay nearly as much for it. And then the other problem with instant gratification is a lot of times the cheap cost is traded for a high price. And I'll explain what I mean about that in a minute. When I was a kid, my parents owned this hotel/store. Not hotel like you see today, like what you see in Cocoa Beach. I'm talking about a little 11-room mom-and-pop hotel. And you had this little beach store out in front, and it sold like candy bars and Cokes and things like that. And so I go to the store. Each Friday, me and my brother and I, we were allowed to get a candy bar and a Coke and a bag of chips. Every Friday, we're allowed to go down to the store, pick out a candy bar, grab a Coke, a fountain Coke, and a bag of chips. And we'd go up and we'd watch Dukes of Hazzard and Incredible Hulk, because that's what was on Friday nights. We watched Dukes of Hazzard, and as we're watching Dukes of Hazzard, we'd eat that candy bar and we'd savor it because we only get one a week. Well, I learned that I could easily go in the store when it's closed. There's all these candy bars just screaming my name, Glint, Glint, Glint. And so I had to oblige, and I ended up getting into the habit of taking candy bars prior to Friday. I know, it's hard to believe. Me, chocolate, I take these candy bars, and I thought I was being clever, so I would take the candy bar and I'd eat the Three Musketeer. It was always Three Musketeer back then. I'd eat the Three Musketeer, and I would take the wrapper, and I would shove it under my mattress, like in between my mattress and my box spring. And when I would shove it under the mattress, I'd say, okay, I got to remember, tomorrow morning, got to take that thing and make sure it's gone, done, away with. Unfortunately, I have never had any kind of short-term memory, kind of like Dory in that Nemo movie. And so I would just forget. And so my mom, if she ever lifted my mattress, there'd be like 15 candy wrappers in there, smashed flat, like pressed leaves, and then I would be in trouble. And back then, there was no timeout. No. There wasn't, oh, you're going to be in timeout. If my mom said timeout, I'd be like, woohoo, timeout? You mean we just want to sit there? That's my punishment? Sit there? No. She would grab with whatever was within reach. It might have been my brother and beat me with it, okay? So I've been beaten by my dog, and it doesn't matter. No timeouts back then. There were consequences. And that's where Proverbs 20:17 comes in. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward, his mouth will be full of gravel. Now, I play beach volleyball, and when I play beach volleyball, it happened just last week. My partner was blocking. The guy tipped the ball over him. I ran, and I dug the ball. And as I dug the ball, I was like, come on! Now, when you say on, your mouth is wide open. When you're diving, your mouth now acts as a plow. Come on! And I ended up with all this sand in my mouth. And as I ended up with the sand in my mouth, it kind of brought this verse to mind. You end up with a mouthful of gravel. That is the consequence. And in my case, it would have been a cheap surfboard that would have broken, or I wouldn't have been happy with. It would have been getting beat by my mom, by the dog. And it just depends on what the ill-gotten gain is to what the consequence is going to be. So let's pray real quick, and then we're going to get into this. Father God, I want to thank you so much for who you are. God, your word says that you are the giver of every good gift. And tonight, what I'd like to talk about, if I have your blessing, is that sometimes we can try to rob you of the very gifts you're trying to give us. Lord, we want to be gratified now, and sometimes you want us to wait. So Lord, as we open your word, as we look at Abraham, as we look at Isaac, as we look at Jacob, we look at these powerful figures in Scripture, lay on our hearts the idea that if we wait on you, there can be no better gift. We can't possibly fabricate, even through our wildest dreams, the blessings that you have for us. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would go before us as we open your word, prepare our hearts to become more like you, to know more about who you are and more about who we are. We love you, and it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man. It's true, isn't it? I mean, that candy bar that I stole, it was sweet. And if I were to go to a surf shop and just pick out a board and go home with it that particular day, that would be sweet. If I go to wherever it is, if I can't afford something, okay, I want a stereo and I can't afford the stereo for my car, so I throw out a credit card. It feels good for a while. But for a $300 stereo, because I paid with a credit card, now I'm paying $415 for it. And there's the consequence. That's the full of gravel, the mouth gravel, we'll call it. You don't want to be a gravel mouth, right? So let's talk about being a gravel mouth. And the way I didn't want to do this, I want to talk about Abraham. We all know who Abraham is. Abraham is the father of three different world religions. Who can tell me what those three religions are? Who can tell me what three world religions Abraham is the founder of, we say? Anybody? Anybody? Alejandra, give me one. Give me a religion that Abraham is the founder of. Give a guess then. Okay, help her out, Mika. Can't hear you. Christianity is one. Judaism is another. Islam is another. Okay? Oh, look, she's like, I knew that. I saw that look. I'm a teacher. So, oh, it was her. So we've got Abraham. Now, Abraham, when he came onto the scene, God told him through various times, he told him that he was going to promise him something. And I want to go through those things. In Genesis 12, and we're not going to turn there because we're going to go through basically 11 verses of the Bible. So Genesis 12, he kind of hints to Abraham. He's like, hey, Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. And the hint there was, is you're going to have descendants. You're going to procreate. Things are going to go well with you. In that culture, a man without children was considered the poorest of men, was considered cursed, if you would. Okay, when you had children, you were considered blessed and prosperous and successful. So he was telling Abraham, you are going to be blessed and prosperous and successful. As a matter of fact, the nations are going to be blessed through you. He hinted in chapter 12, and Abraham's like, cool, I'm a little old, but I'm glad that I'm going to have kids. Chapter 13, he goes even further. He says, Abraham, your children are going to be numerous. In other words, through you, through your descendants, there's going to be nations, okay? He's like, your children are going to be numerous. And Abraham's getting a little bit more stoked, okay? And by the way, his name back then actually was Abram, wasn't Abraham. Subtle difference. That's going to be interesting in a second. And then he says, Abraham, you are definitely going to have an heir. Now Abraham's getting old. He's like in his 80s. He's like, God's like, hey, Abe, how you doing? Abraham says, well, you know, I'm doing great. I've got all this land. I've got all these sheep and whatever other animals he might have had. And he said, the only problem is I don't have an heir, so I guess I'm going to have to give everything to my servant because I don't have a son, God. Yeah, no heir here. Yep, I've got no son, God. God, you hear me, God? I got nobody to give my inheritance to. And God says, listen to me in 15. You will have an heir. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham's like, well, I'm glad to hear it, but I'm in my 80s. Back then, 80 was no young chicken. Not like today, okay? So he goes on, he says, well, what if we come up with our own plan? Because Sarah, Abram's wife, she said, listen, you're 80, I'm 70. God said we're going to have a kid. It's not happening. So therefore, why don't we have a kid through my servant Hagar, who was an Egyptian servant for Sarah. And she said, you go have a kid with Hagar, and then I will adopt the kid, and then we will use God's promise through that. Now listen to me. God promised Abraham something. Abraham was waiting and waiting, and God, it was almost like God was saying, allow 4 to 6 weeks, okay, allow 40 to 60 years for delivery. And Abraham said, man, I've been waiting 40 years. I can't wait any longer. And basically, they looked at their situation and said, impossible. So they fabricated a way to get the blessing of God. There was going to be a blessing from God. Abraham was promised by God, you are going to have this. So he said, okay, I'm going to have this. It's not happening. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to fabricate a way to get God's blessing. And that's what he did. He ended up having relations with Hagar. Hagar had a baby, and that baby's name was Ishmael. Okay? And that was great. Abraham was happy. I got a son, just like God promised. And God said, no, this is not what I promised. He said, you will have an heir through Sarah. Your wife, who you're supposed to have kids with, that's where your heir is going to come from. And what I like about this is not only did Abraham mess up, not only did he not have as much faith in God as he should have, but God still was faithful to his promise to Abraham. And that's going to come back to us in just a moment. So he says, you will have a promised child. You will have a child, and you are going to name him Isaac, and it will be by Sarah. Now, at this time, Abram is 100 years old. 100 years old. He's a century old. Sarah is 90 years old. Way past childbearing years, okay? And then God says something really interesting. Because Abram, his name actually meant, in Hebrew names, it actually meant something back then, okay? Like my name, Clint, I don't know what that means, okay? Other than Clint Eastwood is really cool. And that's probably why they named me that, because they knew I was going to be really cool. So names back then actually meant something. Abram meant exalted father, okay? So it was like he was walking around childless, and everybody knew it. Like he was the head of this tribe. And this tribe is nomadic, and they're bouncing around from place to place. So everybody knew Abram didn't have a child. And they were walking around calling him exalted father. Okay? It's kind of almost like a slap in the face. Like when your name, it's kind of like if my volleyball team has an issue with height. And it's not a good issue. It's a bad issue. If I could have, no, I won't have Emmy stand up. She's the tallest girl on my team. And she's not that tall. Allie, my daughter, Mika, my other daughter, they have height issues. They want to play volleyball. They're great at volleyball. You should see them. They're awesome, if I do say so myself. But they're tiny, okay? There's nothing wrong with being short, unless you're a volleyball player. So the idea here is, yes, my daughter Allie, she's not super tall. Beautiful tall, get up, but not super tall. So what if I started going around calling her, what if I named her Oh Tall One, okay? And she's walking around at 5 foot whatever, one, and no? Okay, oh. And she says, oh, hi, Oh Tall One, you know? Or what if they came to me and I was bald, like I was totally bald. I'm not there yet, but I go totally bald and they call me Harry, okay? Or you see this really huge guy, okay, and he's large, larger than me, okay, and you call him Slim. It's kind of almost like a slap in the face. So Abram is walking around town and he's got no kids and he's walking around. Everybody has to call him exalted father, slap in the face. So God does one better. He's like, all right, so you had this kid and she wasn't your wife. And I'm going to change your name from exalted father to father of many. Because at least now you're a father. But now I'm going to change your name to father of many. So now he's got to walk around town as father of many. And he still hasn't had a son by Sarah. So he says, you are going to have a son. And then Sarah overhears angels in Genesis 18 saying that she's going to get pregnant within the year. And she starts laughing in her tent because she's like 90 years old. Pregnant? What are you talking about? 90. 90. And the angels kind of got a kick out of that. And then a year later, guess what? Isaac was born. So we had the promise. God's promise to Abram was that you will have a son. Abram didn't like the timing. Sarah didn't like the timing. So they constructed this way to go outside of God's will, kind of go around God's will, say, okay, I'm not getting what I want in the time frame that I want. Therefore, I will come up with my own time frame to get what I want. They're robbing God of a blessing that he wanted to give them. That was the whole idea. God wanted to bless Abraham, and Abraham decided to take that blessing for himself before time. And what's interesting is history kind of repeated itself. Isaac then had two children, okay, Jacob and Esau. And interestingly enough, God promised Isaac that Jacob was going to be favored. In other words, Jacob was going to get the inheritance. Jacob was going to be basically the leader of his people. But that was weird because Esau, Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. And that was weird in that culture. Since Esau was born first, he should get the inheritance, he should be the leader of the people, so on and so forth. God said, no, Jacob's going to be the chosen one, if you will. Now, Isaac was told by God, this is what's going to happen. His wife, Rebekah, knew it. I don't know if Isaac knew it, but Isaac, knowing that he was going to be second in command, if you will, tricked his father into getting the blessing, to getting that firstborn blessing, even though he shouldn't have had it. But he was promised the blessing even before he was born. Before Isaac was born, before Jacob was born, I'm not very good with names. Before Jacob was born, it was promised that you are going to have this. Jacob grows up and says, I'm going to have this, but I'm not willing to wait for God to give it to me. I'm going to take it for myself. Now, how does this all apply to us with our instant gratification and surfboards being ordered and Amazon drones dropping things in my front yard? The way it is this. God has promised gifts, blessings to every person in here. Now, I don't know what those blessings are. It might be you're going to be a youth leader. It might be you're going to be president of the United States. It might be you're going to be the head of some missionary organization. I don't know what your gifts are. But God has something for you. And here's the problem. A lot of times, we try to steal those blessings before God is ready to give them to us. And I'm just going to give you four examples of that. Your role or your identity in your family, in your school, in this youth group, wherever you're with a group of people, you have a certain role. And then you may want to desire a certain role. Some roles might be, the athlete. My role is the athlete. When I go to school, I'm the jock. I do good at sports, and I win all the games, and my name's on the banners, and so on and so forth. They're going to retire my jersey. So I'm the athlete. Maybe that's your role. Maybe your role is the brain, okay? And you are the one that's expected to do well on every test. You're going to set the curve. You're going to be the person everybody looks to help them with their homework, so on and so forth. And so now you're going to put all this pressure on yourself to be the brain. Maybe your role is the singer, or it's the artist, or it's the cool loner. I always like the cool loner. Spider-Man, Homecoming, the cool loner. Actually turned out to be MJ at the end. Okay, cool loner girl. It might be the popular person. Okay, where you have to be popular. Here's the problem with that role. God has a certain role for you. God has given you certain gifts. Your role might be the singer. God may have given you that gift. But maybe in order to be the singer, in order to get the part in the play and the stuff and the thing, you have to be a little, I don't know, dishonest to do it. Maybe to be the brain, maybe to keep that role up, maybe you have to cheat on your homework or cheat on a test in order to make that happen or to keep that up. And to be the athlete, maybe you have to do something that's a little unethical to be the athlete, to be the popular person. Maybe you've got to gossip about somebody else so that you're the popular person. Maybe you have to demean somebody else to raise yourself up. The point I'm trying to make here is this. Bread gained by deceit is sweet, but afterward, the mouth will be full of gravel. Your role, your identity, God has given you one. Let me tell you what that role is. It's a child of heaven. It's the prince or the princess of a kingdom. Your role is part of the body of Christ if you're redeemed. If you've been redeemed, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then what God has done is he has given you something. It might be the brain, but it's secondary to your role in the body of Christ. Being with a price means that you've become more valuable than you could ever imagine. So as we grasp at these different roles or these different identities, instead of letting God give us these things, if God has given you the gift of being the brain in your school, then all you have to do is exercise the gift. If God has given you the gift to be the athlete in your school, exercise the gift. Use it for his glory. But don't take what God may be giving you. That's the problem right there. God might be, what's your name? Drew? God may be going up to Drew and say, Drew, dude, I'm going to give you the state championship. But maybe God doesn't want Drew to have the state championship until he's a senior. What grade are you going into? Ninth? So Drew's going into ninth grade, and maybe Drew decides, no, I got to take out that guy's knee in order for me to get the state championship. So God is handing Drew something, and Drew's like, I'm ready for it now, and snatches it out of God's hand. That's exactly what Abraham did. I promise you a son, Abraham. No, I want it now. And snatches it out of God's hand. And what God has for us is so much better. Maybe it's friends. Maybe the thing God has for you, and I'm not talking about just a group of people we hang around. I'm talking about somebody that you're yoked with. I'm not yoking. I know, right? That was free. Somebody that you're yoked with, a best friend, somebody that you can, of course, now on the face Twitters and the Insta tweets, The whole thing is like, everybody calls everybody, they're you're my best friend, I love you. No, you're my best friend, I love you. You're the best friend in the whole world. You're the best friend in the whole world. But wait, I thought I was your best friend in the whole world. No, she's my best friend in the whole world, but you are too. I don't understand that. But anyway, social media makes that really awkward sometimes. So you got this whole idea of, I need a best friend. I need somebody that I can connect with because we want connection. We were not meant to be alone. So we're going to crave that connection, and that's okay. But here's the problem. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. God has somebody for you. I've talked to various people about this. We're like, man, I don't have anybody I just really connect with. So then what I see, especially amongst teenagers, what I see is they start connecting with whoever they can. I've got to have a friend. I've got to feel like somebody likes me. So therefore, I will be in the company of fools. God has this friend for you. I don't know who he or she is. I don't know when he or she, when God's going to reveal that person to you. But in the meantime, don't be desperate for something that God already has for you. God told us that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. We're designed to be with people. So that's how I know God has somebody for us, because we're designed to be in community. Be open to what God has for you, and don't be desperate for what you need. And then, oh, this is the big one. Gosh. the boyfriend and the girlfriend. Ugh. Do we have another hour? So, what do you think the average age is people get married? Just average in the United States. I throw a guess out. I don't know what it is. I'm just, what do you think? 23? 20 to 30. So somewhere in the 20s. Okay? So let's call it 25. All right? So let's call this, we'll split the difference, say 25. I got married when I was 26. Seven, six. I got married when I was 26. I know that. It was in March. And it was the 8th. And it was 1997. Yes? I should just stop right there. I got married when I was 26. Let's say the average age is 25. Okay? Most of you in here are what? From, I got Mika who's, what, eight? No, she's always going to be eight to me. She's my baby girl. Mika's 12, and I know we have some 18-year-olds because some of you are going to be seniors, right? And we got some leaders in here that are probably even older. So the average age that you're going to get married is, say, 25, okay? And then we start when we're like 15 or 14, start saying, okay, I got to have a boyfriend. Now, most of you will probably get married in here, except for one guy, but I don't want to talk about that. So, well, I didn't say who it was. So, most of you are getting married. There might be some in here that aren't going to get married because God has called some people to be single. God has called some people to be so dedicated to what he's doing that they're going to be single forever, and there's nothing wrong with that. And God will put that on your heart as he sees fit. But most of you are going to get married in here, all right? And here's the thing. You're going to get married probably around 25. So why at 15 do we start getting desperate for it? Well, it's because we weren't meant to be alone, number one. Number two, we want to be connected to somebody. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to have somebody go to us and say, I love you. Will you go to the movies with me? You know, you want to be able to put on Facebook in a relationship with. Okay? You want to be able to put on your little Insta-tweeter the pictures of you, a selfie of you and your beau. Oh, look, this is us at the whatever with doing the thing and whatever you people do with the Insta-tweeter. So you want that, and there's no problem wanting that. Here's where the problem comes. God has a husband or a wife for you. Okay? For the vast majority of the people in here, God has a husband or a wife for you. And here's what he's doing. He's going up to, what's your name?
Matthew.
Good biblical name. All right, so he's going up to Matthew, and he's saying, I have a wife for you, okay? And he's going up to Jessica saying, I have a husband for you. And he's saying this, and he's holding his hands out. He's like, but I'm going to wait till you're 25 or whatever. And here's what we do. I want it now. I gotta have it now. And we go outside his will and we fabricate his blessing for us. And basically what we're saying is, God, 4 to 6 weeks is too long. I need it now. And then it goes beyond that. I see it over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to somebody about this two nights ago, where their daughter is going to live with her boyfriend, and it's one other case of God has a blessing for this couple, be it with each other or separately, I don't know, but God has a blessing for this couple. The covenant of marriage, all the blessings that go along with the covenant of marriage. And basically what they're saying is, no, I want it now. So often, we look at the blessing that God has for us, and then we fabricate our own blessing, and it becomes a cheap imitation of what God actually has. you try to create your own identity, either the cool owner or the artist or whatever it might be, it's going to be a cheap imitation of who you are in Christ. You try to grasp for whatever friendship out of desperation that you can get your hands on, it's going to be a cheap imitation of what God has for you. If you try to grasp for that intimate relationship that we all crave, it's going to be a cheap imitation of what God has for you. I want to close with this. There's one other thing that we try to manufacture, and that's righteousness. The vast majority of the religions of the world say, do this, don't do that, be good enough, pray enough, go on this mission trip, go on that mission trip, help old ladies across the street. Don't cuss and don't drink and don't date people who do either one of those things, and then you will be good enough to go to heaven, hopefully. You look at Islam. You look at the pillars of Islam. It's works. It's be good enough. You look at Judaism. Follow the law. Be good enough. You look at Hinduism. You got the path of enlightenment. Be good enough. You look at Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, be good enough, and you will be righteous enough to get into heaven. And that's one more opportunity for us to fabricate something that God is offering us as a blessing. You see, there's a reason we have to be good enough. It's because something's wrong with this world. Over in Coco, those dudes sat there and filmed a guy drowning and laughed about it. There's something wrong with this world. Over in, I can't remember what it was, Tennessee, a mom helped her boyfriend, aided her boyfriend to abuse her daughter. There's something wrong with this world. You say, those are extreme cases. Yeah, those are extreme cases. But guess what? Every single person in here has the propensity to do awful things. We have social mores that hold us back, thank goodness. We have the Holy Spirit kind of protecting us from ourselves a little bit, but we're broken. So what God has done is he's saying, you cannot be good enough to be considered righteous. The righteous will be called by faith, will live by faith. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you righteousness. That's the gift that he's given us. I'm going to offer you righteousness. Well, how can you offer somebody righteousness? Well, nobody here can. I can't give my righteousness to Carly. I can't offer righteousness to Mika. It doesn't work that way. So what God does is he says, I'm going to give you righteousness because I'm going to be a replacement. Jesus is going to die on the cross to become sin, to become the brokenness that you are, so that you can become the righteousness that he is. It's this cosmic law, cause and effect. Just like we were introduced to the law when we took the fruit of knowledge of good and evil off the tree, God put the law back on the tree via Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. So here's what we do. We're offered this righteousness, and then what we want to do is we say, okay, that looks good, but I got to do, and I got to do, and I got to do. And then we try to put God in our debt, and it doesn't work that way. Here's what the righteousness is. It's believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. That's the ultimate gift that God can give. And yet we still try to fabricate it. And that righteousness that we try to fabricate through doing good things or wearing the right t-shirt or listening to the right station, that righteousness is a cheap imitation of God's real blessing. There's nothing wrong with good works. They're a fruit of God's righteousness, but they're not the definition of God's righteousness. So I want to leave you with this. When you look in the mirror and you wonder who you are, God has given you an identity. Run with it. When you look for your friends, God has given you a promise. Run with it. When you look for that relationship that we all crave, God has somebody for you. Wait for it. Don't build for yourselves cheap imitations of blessings that God already has for you. Wait for the real thing. Because when you wait for the real thing, such a better ride than a cheap imitation that you can get in any old surf shop. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the blessings you've given in my life. God, I wish that I hadn't built my own blessings. I wish that I hadn't built my own gifts for you. I wish I had waited on everything that you had for me. But I didn't, and I ended up with gravel in my mouth. But Lord, I want to thank you for giving me the grace to be righteous through all of that. Lord, I want to pray over every person here. I want to pray for the person who's struggling with their role and maybe in their family or in their school or in their group of friends. I pray that you would give them that identity that they crave, that you would show them exactly who they are in Jesus Christ. I pray for that person who's looking for a friend who maybe feels exiled right now or alone. I pray that you give them the confidence that you hear their cries and that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I pray for that person who's struggling, desiring that relationship that they're not ready for, that you would give them the strength. I pray for that person who has already tried to construct a blessing and they've already gone too far with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Lord, I pray that you would put in their hearts that you have something much better and it's well worth waiting for. But Lord, all of this, I pray that you would let everybody know here that it's under your righteousness that you have given us freely through faith in your Son. You're a good, good Father. You give good, good gifts. May we accept them at your timing and be patient and not fall into the instant gratification. And Father, I pray that you'd bless the rest of this evening. I pray that you bless every person here. Lord, most of all, I pray that you are glorified tonight, that your name was honored and lifted on high. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.